Thanks everyone for coming out this Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock in Spanish Fork, Utah. I'd like to thank those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. Invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by email us at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class, become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder, Acharya, of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today we'd like to talk to you about getting godly goals. Have you ever heard this term, without a vision, the people perish? You've got to have some sort of a dream, some sort of ambition, a goal, a vision in your life, something that you're aiming for. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu, the Almighty Lord, who's known by different names in different cultures, he says, I am the goal. In other words, God, I am the goal. As well as being the goal, I am the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge, the most dear friend. I am the creation and annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place in the eternal sea. You've all had the experience of throwing a pebble into a pond and seeing the ripples go out and out and out and out. But when they reach the shore, they stop. They reach their abode. They reach their goal. They reach their resting place. So when we're born, we're pretty self-centered. And that's reinforced by all kinds of relatives coming and chucking us under the chin and saying, coochie coochie coo, isn't he cute? And we sort of want to enjoy everything ourselves. And the way we do that is we put everything in our mouths. Small formative children want to experience everything through their mouths. They grow, they mature a little bit, and they find that it's pleasurable to share once in a while. Okay, I've had it in my mouth, now you put it in your mouth. And so the service and the love expands from being self-centered, expands out. It may encompass family members, it may encompass human beings, it may extend to all living beings, not just humans, but non-humans as well. But when that loving, serving propensity comes to its ultimate rest, its ultimate abode, its ultimate shelter, that's said to be at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu. And Prabhupada, our spiritual master, says if one is not in Krishna or some sort of God consciousness, there cannot be a final goal for the mind. Disturbance is due to the lack of an ultimate goal, and one is certain that Krishna is the ultimate enjoyer, proprietor, and friend, then one can, with a steady mind, enjoy peace in one's life. There are three types of people. There are people who make things happen. There are those who watch things happen. And there are those who have no clue what is happening. So our hope for you is that you'll be among the first group. But what does it mean to set godly goals? In the Bhagavad Gita, the Song of God, the Lord indicates over and over and over again that He loves to shower those who put Him first place with blessings. And if I were to ask you, how many of you would like the heavens to open up and you to be showered with peace, prosperity, contentment, wonderful, warm, intimate relationships? You couldn't raise your hand fast enough, I bet. And in the Bhagavad Gita, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of such promises. So what does it mean to set godly goals? It means to set the kind of goals that qualify you for unlimited blessings from above. Now, I've heard that 95% of Americans have never sat down with a pencil and a piece of paper and written down any goals for their lives. If you've done that, if you've sat down and written some goals for your life, then you are among the elite 5%. I'll give you four reasons to sit down after this service this evening and write down some godly goals for your life. First reason is godly goals will give you hope. Second reason is they'll focus your time and your energy. The third reason is they will stretch your faith. And the fourth reason is they will build your character. Now, giving us hope. Life is full of losses. Some of you have lost a loved one this year. In the past, 2013, some of you will lose loved ones in the upcoming year. Some of you have had a health setback. Some of you had a financial loss. Some of you are involved in complicated legal entangling situations. Life is full of illnesses. Life is full of tragedies. Life is full of accidents. Stuff happens. Amongst the Lama community, we have our own way of saying that. You'll see on trailers that carry llamas here and there, a decal, a bumper sticker that says, spit happens. You can get stuck in the past. You can get stuck in these losses, these accidents, these tragedies, if you don't have a goal. We're never promised as devotional people that bad things won't happen to us. Yes, bad things happen to good people. But because we have a goal, we have a destination, we can move through the bad things and not get stuck in them. They give us hope so that we may endure. The alternative is really just drifting. A boat on the water with no anchor, with no navigation, with no rudder, is prey to any breeze that's going to push it willy-nilly here and there. No aim, no goal, just coasting, a formula, a recipe for disaster. Why would you get out of bed in the morning if you didn't have a dream? Bertrand Russell, the greatest atheist of the 20th century, admitted that without the concept of a God, life has no meaning. Without God as a goal, there isn't really a good reason to get out of bed in the morning. If you don't have an ambition, a goal, then maybe you've been drifting for too long, and you might want to rethink this aspect of your life. And it doesn't matter, I'm not referring to the mistakes that you've made in the past, your lack of education, your lack of upbringing, who's done you wrong in the past, that's irrelevant. What's important is the time that we have ahead of us. Whether you have 5 minutes more, or 5 months, or 5 years, or 50 years, the question is, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Whether I've got 1 month or 100 months, what am I going to do and in what direction am I going to go? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna in the form of a devotee, appeared 500 years ago in Bengal. He gave us a nice meditation, a sort of a clue, if you like. O Krishna, beloved son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant. But some or other, I have fallen into this ocean of nescience, and although I am struggling very hard, there is no way that I can extricate or save myself. If you kindly pick me up and fix me as one of the particles of dust at your lotus feet, that will save me. Our goals don't have to be big goals initially for them to help us out. If you've ever had surgery, the nurses give you little incremental goals. The day after the surgery, they say, okay, your goal today is to sit up in bed. And you sit up in bed. Good job, yes. Tomorrow, we're going to get you to slide over and put your legs over the edge of the bed. And when you do that the next day, good job, all right. And then the next little goal is to walk on your own to the bathroom. Yes, and they encourage you. And then the fourth day, they say, we're going to give you a walker, and you're going to walk out in the hallway all by yourself with your rear end showing. I've heard that ICU means literally that, I see you. Just had the end of the football season. I heard about a fellow, he settled down into his easy chair in September, early September, with his big gulp and his remote, and he said to his wife, honey, is there anything you want to tell me before the football season starts? So, if you're a football team and you had your druthers to start strong or end weak, or to start weak or end strong, what would you prefer? You'd rather start weak, wouldn't you, and mature and learn and end strong. So oftentimes losses, accidents, tragedies that happen to us early in life make us stronger. They prepare us for a great destiny that God has in store for us. So the first purpose of setting godly goals is to go through life with hope, because the option is really unthinkable. The second is to focus your energy and your life. We can't do everything, but just try to do a few things and do them as best you can, and your life will be effective. The secret is to focus your life. There's a story in the Mahabharata. The great Dronacharya was the martial teacher of all the Kaurava youth, and he wanted to teach them the importance of focus. So he had a wooden painted bird mounted on a tree about 150 yards away, and he called up the young boys, and he said, the point of this exercise will be to shoot an arrow into the eye of the bird in the distant tree. So he called up the first boy, said, notch your arrow, and prepare, and tell me what you see. First boy said, I see the ground, I see the sky, I see the tree trunk, I see the leaves, I see the bird. So Dronacharya said, stand down. Next fellow got his bow notched and he's ready. He said, tell me what you see. I see the trunk, I see the tree, I see the leaves, I see the bird, I see his wings, I see his head, I see his eye. All right, stand down. The next one he says, okay, tell me what you see. I see the bird, I see his tail, I see his wings, I see his head, I see his eye. Stand down. Then Karna, the second best archer in the world, came up. Tell me what you see. I see the head of the bird and I see the eye. And still Dronacharya said, stand down. Then Arjuna, the number one focused devotee, bhakta of Lord Sri Krishna on the planet at that time, stepped up, notched his bow, and stretched it. His teacher said, what do you see? I only see the eye of the bird. He said, shoot. And then obviously he hit his target. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says, those who are on the spiritual path have a common quality, and that is focus. Vyavishadmika buddhi. Buddhi means intelligence. Eka kuru nandana. Nandana means Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. Eka means single-minded. They have a single-minded focus. Now, we've met people who are single-mindedly focused on the stock market, single-mindedly focused on bars and discos and nightclub, or single-mindedly focused on chasing women or chasing men, or single-mindedly focused on what are the prescription drugs in the medicine cabinet, and that's never good. But when you're single-mindedly focused on the sarva karana karana, the root cause from which everything comes, that's not limited vision. That doesn't limit you, that frees you. Just like if you put water on the root of the tree, by doing that one thing, the nourishment is distributed to all the branches, leaves, and flowers automatically. So doing that one thing, everything else is accomplished. So focusing on the absolute truth, the Supreme Lord, is actually the broadest type of vision that one can have. And doing that, one becomes proactive in one's life. One takes the initiative to put the Lord first place, to put His will for this world in the center of one's life, and then just watch blessings chase you down. You don't have to chase them, they will chase you down. And what is everybody else doing without God-centeredness? They're trying so hard for an education, so they can get a job, so they can get money, so they can get a house. They're going to the gym and lifting weights and running and doing triathlons so they could be healthy and enjoy good health and this and that and the other thing. And yet Lord Krishna is saying, if you just focus on me, if you keep yourself active in putting me first place, blessings will chase you down. Blessings that you can't imagine, more blessings than you can count, and you don't have to go separate or independent to search out after them. Such a deal. What do you think? And the option is just to be self-centered, go from one point to another, and always be reactive. A reactive person in the Mahabharata was Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was a king who was born blind, and not only was he physically blind, but he was spiritually blind, and his sons were also spiritually blind. So his sons, headed up by Duryodhana, decided to challenge in a conspiracy to deprive the kingdom of the pious, righteous Pandavas, who were the friends and devotees of Krishna. And Dhritarashtra knew that that was a fatal course of action to challenge those who have the protection and those who put Krishna first place. But he could not wean himself of his affection for his evil-minded son. So he lost everything. He lost his sons, he lost his kingdom, he even lost his mind. Dhritarashtra is the ancient emblem of the saying that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Because he didn't stand on the promises of Krishna, he fell for the conspiratorial criminal schemes of his son Duryodhana. Here it talks in the Bhagavad Gita, for one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached. So the single most important thing we can do in our quest for God is to control the mind. If we control the mind, God is already present before us. He's always trying to get through to us. He's always trying to communicate to us. There's never a time when he isn't. The problem is we're too busy. He's getting a busy signal. We've got our iPods. We've got Facebook. We've got the latest DVD. We've got the latest juicy gossip about a third party who's not present. We've got television shows to discuss, new cars to gloat over, and God can't get through to us because he's always getting a busy signal. So if we conquer and discipline and control the mind and experience tranquility, then we start receiving those sublime messages from the Lord. We don't have to do everything. Our life is short, 60, 70, 80 years. Half of it we spend sleeping. Half of it we spend in youth. Part of it we spend in the invalidity of old age. So we don't really have so much time, and it's not effective to waste your time being indecisive. What should I do? Should I do this or should I do that? Should I go to this college or that college? Should I pursue this career or that career? Should I eat this or that? Should I associate with these people or these people? Should I go see that movie or this movie? When you have your goal, all those questions are automatically answered. They're automatically answered when you have your goal in life, and then you don't waste time in indecision. You just get right to it. And you don't sweat the little things. Here it says in the Gita, a pure devotee does not have to worry about the material necessities of life. He need not be anxious because when he removes the darkness from his heart, everything is provided automatically by the Supreme Lord, who is pleased by the loving devotional service of the devotee. Have you ever heard people say, well, I just hope that I can squeak by, the economy's so bad. You know, if I can just keep my job and get through the next 2 years and put aside a little something for retirement and put food on the table, that's not the life that God intended us to live. He intends us to set our vision for greatness, and then all the small things will be taken care of automatically in due course of time. He doesn't want us to have the weight of the world on our shoulders. He wants us to experience unlimited freedom. And here it confirms that. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, as soon as the living entity becomes situated in his constitutional glory and begins to enjoy the transcendence beyond time and material energy, he at once gives up the illicit conceptions of I and mine and thus becomes fully manifested as the pure self. You see, as a consumer society, we're a society of thieves. We want to enjoy what God has created, which is God's property. We want to appropriate God's property, and the single two most often words in the English language are I and mine. We think it's all about us, but we were not created to serve our own limited self-serving ambitions. We were created by God, the master creator, the master architect, for the purpose of putting him first place, honoring him, and doing good to all other living beings. So the first symptom of freedom is that one gets rid of one's false ego. Now, some people mistakenly think that the goal of spiritual life is to get rid of your ego altogether. That's not what Krishna is saying here. He says, get rid of your false ego, but don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Realize that your real ego is Nitya Shurupahai Krishna Das, that I am an eternal servant of the Lord. And one great example of that was Narada Muni. We read about Narada Muni. He was born the son of a maidservant. She had known many men, so she couldn't even tell the little boy who her father was. And she got bit by a snake at his age when he was 5 years old. So at 5 years old, this illegitimate boy became an orphan. So he happened to wander into a Himalayan ashram where there were great saints and sages. And he took a liking to them, and they took a liking to him. They took him under their wing, they mentored him, they taught him, he sat and listened to the Sanskrit glorification of God, the philosophy of pure theism. He shared meals with them, and they blessed him with love of God. So in spite of the humble circumstances of his birth, when he left his body at the end of that life, he got an eternal, transcendental, spiritual body and the freedom to travel anywhere at will, not only within the material worlds, but the spiritual worlds themselves. In other words, he basically enjoys the same level of freedom as God in terms of unrestricted travel anywhere in the kingdom of God and the material world. And nobody can stop him from that free movement. Here Lord Krishna says to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, he who meditates upon me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. The problem is the world's full of distractions. The world is a distraction. We need to learn the art of setting aside the lesser for the sake of the greater. We just don't have time for everything. If you don't take care, the world will fritter away your valuable human form of life on trivial pursuits. And you'll get to the end of your life wondering, what did I do? What did I accomplish? Here's a guy who's typical of what I'm saying. At least he was able to write this poem. I've gone for drink, and I've sharpened my pencils. I've searched through my desk for forgotten utensils. I reset my watch, I adjusted my chair, I loosened my tie and straightened my hair. I filled my pen and tested the blotter. I've gone for another drink of water. I adjusted the calendar and raised the blinds and sorted erasers of different kinds. Now down to work, I can finally sit. Oops, too late. It's time to quit. Does that remind you of anybody? Hopefully not yourself. Most people don't know the difference between pressures and priorities, between activity and achievement, between urgent and what's important. Often the urgent things are the things which are not the most important, and the most important are the things which are not urgent. Chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chanting the names of the Lord is deemed by saints and sages and all religious tradition and all scriptures as the single most important way that you can spend your time on a regular, consistent, daily basis. Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Pray in the firmament, pray in the heavens, pray without ceasing, pray with cymbals, lute, drums, and that's from the Bible. Similar statements are in the Guru Granth Sahib, the Quran, every scripture of the world. Praise is the practice of chanting the holy names of the Lord, of focusing one's time and attention in glorifying the absolute unlimited names of the Lord. But how often do urgent things, a phone call, that little bleep that says you got a Facebook message, how often do we get derailed in our early morning practice of meditating on the names of the Lord by something so-called urgent, which in the eye of eternity has no significance whatsoever? You have to judge by the standard of eternity and push aside that which is urgent and that which is temporal. Imagine if for 1 month we gave up, we fasted from watching the evening news. Been watching the evening news and the bulletin comes hot off the press. Breaking news. You've got to come out of the kitchen and come and watch this. Honey, there's something coming down somewhere in Beirut, in Iraq, in New York City. Come on, what is it? Breaking news, breaking news, breaking news. That's an example of the urgent, but it's not important. It's not important. If it was really important, it'll still be important tomorrow. It'll still be important 2 or 3 days from now. We don't have time to have constant news feeds coming to us, constant toxos, constant commentaries coming into our life. When you have a goal, it keeps you from reacting to all these different kinds of distractions. Here it is said in the Bhagavatam, the glory of the world, the glories of the Lord is always worth singing. Would you believe that it's worth singing the glories of the Lord even during the Super Bowl? Would you imagine the audacity of Scripture to say that you can even chant the glories of the Lord during the Super Bowl? Imagine that. You could even chant the glories of the Lord during the BYU-Utah football game, and you'd be so much better off for it. It says the glories of the Lord are always worth singing. You can chant, elevate the practice of chanting the glories of the Lord over watching television, over watching DVDs, over gossiping in the office about other people. You can elevate the practice of chanting the glories of the Lord over every other activity. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And it's advised in this scripture and every other scripture, one should meditate upon the name, form, pastimes, qualities of the paraphernalia of the Lord until the mind becomes fixed. So hope and focus. And moving quickly to the other two, we stretch our faith by setting godly goals. When we establish a goal, that in itself is a statement of faith. I'm trusting Krishna to help me accomplish this in my finances, this in my relations, this in my career, this with my children, this with my dreams, this with my friends. We've got to have a goal. In the Gita, it says, those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. And what happens for those who are very dear to the Lord? He opens the vault of heaven and showers blessing upon them. According to your faith, it is said it will be done. Krishna says, you get to choose how much I bless your life. You want me to bless you a little, then have a little faith. You want me to bless you a medium amount, then have a medium amount of trust and faith. You want me to bless you a lot, then put a lot of faith. Put a lot of trust in me. You don't want me to bless you at all, then don't trust me. It's real simple. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Ye yapta mamprapadyate tamstada. As they surrender unto me, I reward accordingly. We would like it the other way around. We would like to say, Krishna, show me what you got, and then I'll see if I believe in you. Show me what you can do, and then I'll see if I have faith in you. But that's not the way it works. The ball is on our court. It's our move. We need to have faith. We need to have trust. And then Krishna is going to reciprocate. Krishna is going to communicate and reveal himself to us according to the level of our trust. And it says, you've never really trusted God until you've attempted to do something that you could not do on your own. That's where faith comes in. Our mission is to get the name and fame of the Lord to spread far and wide. Lord Chaitanya predicted that the name of Lord Krishna would be chanted in every town and village of the world. So this is our lifelong ambition. This is the purpose for which my wife and I get up each and every morning. So in 1989, we thought that we would attract more people if we invited them to come and chant and celebrate the Spring Festival of Colors. We thought that the colors might be a hook to get more and more people to come and chant. If you just ask them to come and chant, it's like, I think I'd rather watch a DVD. But you say, come, we'll throw colors, we'll celebrate this traditional Indian Spring Festival, and we'll chant. And we'll have modern music like dubstep, techno trance, ska, reggae, and we'll chant the names of God. And the first festival of colors that we had in 1989, we had, I don't know, 5 devotees, 3 BYU students, and 4 Indians. But the most recent festival of colors we had 65,000 people over 2 days. It was so successful that last year we had 4 festivals of colors in Los Angeles, Salt Lake City, Spanish Fork, as well as St. George, Utah. This year, we organized 8 color festivals, including San Bernardino, Escondido, Las Vegas, and Oceanside. Thursday, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm 67 years old, my wife is 67 years old, we don't really have a crew, and we've got a truck, we've got exhibits, we've got a vision, we've got a dream, but I don't even know how we're going to do the 8 festivals that we've got scheduled. I just have to trust Krishna that there'll be people who show up in Los Angeles and San Bernardino who will help us with the setup, the takedown, the admissions, and so on and so forth. And that's always been our experience, that when we stepped out to glorify the Lord, He never left us swinging in the wind. And so, but beyond the 8, you could be comfortable. Do you know that one day in Spanish Fork, Utah, we pay all the bills for the whole year? We could just do one day and pay all the bills. Now, you could settle. You could be quite comfortable in a niche like that. But we don't settle. We push it, we push it, we push it, we push it. And even with 8 festivals, I wanted to push it further. I say, how can we do more? I can't physically do more, but I want more to be done. Thursday, I met with the team of the 3rd biggest color run in America, Run or Die. I know the CEO there, Jake. He wants me to call him Jagadish. We signed a contract to do 23 color festivals all over America in addition to the 8 color festivals that I'm doing. And my job is as the spiritual consultant. I pick all the bands, I pick all the music, they fly me out, and they have me as the MC, and they give me $1 for everybody who goes to their festivals. 23. And if those 23 are successful, then watch out, America. we're going to have a kirtan revolution by the grace of the Lord. You let the size of your God determine the size of your goal. If you base your goals on who you think you are, you're going to have puny goals. But if you base your goals and life on what you think God is capable of, then God goes, that's my boy, that's my girl. They're believing me, they're trusting me, I'm going to be the wind behind their sails. Krishna challenges you to think of the greatest accomplishment, the greatest thing that you could do in your life, and he will top you. He will trump you with an even greater thing. I dare you to dream great dreams for your life. Doesn't cost a penny to dream. Every great accomplishment started with what some people thought was a crazy idea. It starts when somebody has the courage to believe. So ask yourself this week, and you go home, get out that piece of paper, your pencil, and write down some God-sized goals for your life. Goals that will require you to have faith and will require you to stretch your faith. And lastly, having God's goals not only gives you hope, not only focuses you, not only stretches your faith, but it builds character. God is far more interested in our character than our comfort. And we've got it all wrong in America. We've got comfort as our first priority. We even go to the church or the temple and the mosque, and we pray to God, make my life more comfortable. But what God's really concerned with is building your character. And often those two are anathema. Comfort, character is very seldom built in comfortable situations. So God loves you too much to answer all of your prayers. Initially, he may coddle you like a parent feeding Gerbers to their little child. But ultimately, you have to understand that he is preparing you to go to the eternal spiritual world. He is preparing you to extricate you from this world of birth, death, disease, and old age to go to that world where everything is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. And sometimes it's hard. When you get to the kingdom of God, it won't be hard. There won't be any difficulty there whatsoever. But right now, Krishna is putting you through character development school. This life is a preparation for eternity. That means that what you're becoming is far more important than what you do in life. So someone says, well, true. If what I'm becoming is the most important thing, then why should I bother to set goals? I'll tell you. Because while you're working on your goal, Krishna or God is working on you. He uses the goal to change you. While you're trying to change your circumstances, make a difference in your generation, do something for the world, something in your finances, your careers, your family, whatever, Krishna is working on changing you. He's developing your character. This is the idea of dharma or duty. Here it is said, Prabhupada, instead of becoming a pseudo-spiritualist for the sake of wanton living and sense enjoyment, it is far better to remain in one's own business and execute the purpose of life, which is to get free from material bondage and enter into the kingdom of God. The prime dharma or goal of self-interest is to reach Vishnu or God. And this may take some time. We're impatient in America. We're used to having everything immediately, having everything yesterday. There's no fast fix for building character. It's not an overnight program. Two mistakes that we need to avoid is setting goals too low and trying to accomplish things too fast. You need to set bigger goals and you need to allow yourself more time to accomplish them. Too often we overestimate what we can accomplish in a year and we underestimate what we can accomplish in 40 years. I'm the kind of person, I don't like to travel, I don't like to waste money, I don't like to just be superficially engaged with people. I always wanted to settle down in one place and develop roots. I wanted to commit myself to a certain community without which you can't expect the community to commit to you, can you? You can't expect a girl, guys, to commit to you unless you get up before the altar and you commit your life to her. Then she'll commit to you. So in our society, there are a lot of devotees that think it's spiritual to travel around here and there and spend thousands of dollars on airfares and pop in here and pop in there. I think it's far more spiritual to dedicate your life in one place, in one community. And that's what I always wanted to do. I started out in Australia. I was there for 5 years. And then I was in San Francisco. I was the president for 3 years. And then I was in Los Angeles for 10 years. And each place, I envisioned myself staying there and dedicating my whole life. But, you know, even in religious institutions or politics and things like that. So I was pushed out. And this is the fourth time I had to relocate in my Krishna conscious career. But no one's pushed us out. We've been here for 30 years. And we're so gratified. All the amazing things that Krishna's done in our lives and in the lives of people that are intersected with us. We've got this temple. We've got a Salt Lake City temple. We've rocked the world with the Festival of Colors. And yet, I believe that the next 10 years will accomplish 5 times more than we've accomplished in the first 30 years. Because we've got it wired. And we believe that the community appreciates our being here because we've made that lifelong commitment. So, just to recap here, godly goal setting gives us hope. It gives us focus. It helps us to stretch our faith, and it builds our character. The result of which, people will admire you. They will respect you. They will look at you, and they will want to have what you have, and you will be the catalyst for them to step into a higher level of spirituality. God will be pleased. If you set godly goals for your life, you'll receive blessings you could never imagine. You'll be a blessing to other people in ways that you could never think of, and you'll accomplish things beyond your furthest dreams. All that will happen in this very lifetime, and in the next life, you go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much for your kind attention. And if you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.